The Fastest 15, it's brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. They allow us to bring this to you commercial free.
The Cairo Radio Text Line is brought to you by State Roofing.
And this is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Busy news day, man. I did not know that Dow Constein was going to block a local journalist from covering an event. And again, the Chinatown International District community, they think that it is so racial, and I'm not saying racist, but they think it's very racial of Dow Constein to want to put this homeless megaplex down in the CID. And maybe the reason they trust Jonathan Cho more than any other journalist is because Jonathan is an Asian American who has been doggedly covering the story for them. But Dow Constein gets to pick and choose which journalists get to cover press events. It's amazing. It's amazing. And a couple of real dopey text messages. Why don't you talk about when Trump barred reporters? Who did Trump bar? Jim Acosta was in every single press conference that Trump ever did. Every single one. He'd spar with people. So, nice try. But let's get into the Fast 50. We've got a lot of other news to talk about. We'll get back to this a little bit later this afternoon. So, you might have just heard in CBS News that Loretta Lynn, one of the great voices in American music. Do we have any Loretta Lynn music here, Nicole?
Yeah, I put your cursor on it.
Dolly this up? Where? Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Well,
but you're telling me, Nicole Thompson, that you and Loretta Lynn have something in common?
Yeah. I mean, me and a lot of other local folks. Yeah. So Loretta, she actually got married at 13. Can you even imagine? She got 13 and moved here with her. She moved to Custer, Washington, right next to Blaine, with her husband, Doolittle. That was his name. Was his name?
Wait. Yeah, I know. He married a 13-year-old.
Yep.
And his name was Doolittle.
That's correct.
You kidding?
Never thought of it like that, but yes.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, he was 21 when they got married. But they never divorced. They were together their whole lives. So apparently it was love.
How'd they end up in Blaine?
So I believe he came up here to work in the logging industry. And I think they were from Kentucky. But they had four kids. By the time she was 19, she was a housewife here for like 15 years. And then in her 20s, her husband bought her a guitar. She started singing and playing. And she played. There was a bar called Bob's Tavern in Blaine, which I had never been to because it closed before I was 21. But I remember my parents going there and dancing. And there was another bar named The Pastime, which I have been to, which is no longer there as well. But apparently she was paid $20 a night when she sang, and she went to the owner of The Pastime and said, "Hey, I'm getting 20 over there. If you'll pay me 25, I'll come over here." And the bar owner at The Pastime went to the bar owner at Bob's and said, "You want me to take her?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Okay, I'm not going to do that." And so she kind of hit this wall, and then she was in a contest in Linden, Washington. Won it, and then that was kind of the beginning
of
Nashville.
His name wasn't really Doolittle. It was his nickname.
I know, but that's what he went by. That's what everybody called him.
Oliver Vannetta Lynn, commonly known as Doolittle.
Or Do. Yeah, apparently my grandpa knew him. They were around.
What a local connection.
Yeah.
What a brush with fame.
Yeah, crazy story.
There you go.
Yeah.
Loretta Lynn. How old is she?
She was 90.
Yeah, that's a good long life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a Patsy and Loretta movie, which is her and obviously Patsy Cline. They had a friendship before Patsy died in the plane crash and all that. It's an interesting movie, but Blaine gets a little shout out in it.
Blaine Noir.
Yeah.
Look at you Borderites.
But
there.
Technically, she lived in Custer, but she did perform in Blaine.
Got it. Okay. All right. I didn't know that. It's good information.
Local.
Okay. Now back to the ugly stories in the news here. All right. Carjackings are on a dramatic increase, especially in Democrat-run cities all across the country. In Philadelphia, I watched video of a horrifying carjacking where some teenagers just blocked a woman in her driveway. She was trying to back out from her home yesterday morning, and they just blocked in her car, came out with guns, forced her out, and then two of the kids sped off in their car, and two of them sped off in the stolen car. Well, we had a carjacking in Spanaway. These are happening on a regular basis around here. Three teenagers in custody. They led police on this chase in Spanaway. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, talked about what went down.
There's no care for property or safety of others.
The eerie moments leading up to the violent carjacking are captured on surveillance video. You see the victim's SUV pulls up to her Spanaway home. Then another car follows behind and two suspects jump out. Deputies say that's when the mom is ambushed at gunpoint and pistol whipped. Then the suspect's car speeds off and the victim's car follows behind.
But I want to stress, we have people on the bench, judges, we have prosecutors, we have politicians who believe that children should do no jail time, even if they're toting guns, even if they commit armed carjackings, even if they risk people's lives. And that's why we had the 15 and 16 year old armed robbers in that pawn shop who a week later cut off their ankle monitors and murdered Jordan Brown. And that was because of a judge's decision. Averill Rothrock decided that if we have children with guns, the only thing that matters is that they're children. The with guns doesn't matter a bit because they're children. And we have to rehabilitate all of these children. And that's why the most violent crimes in our society are being committed by children. Because the gangs know, they can tell the 13 and 14-year-old gangbangers that if they're the ones who steal the cars, if they're the ones who sling the drugs, if they're the ones who commit the worst crimes, nothing will happen to them. And so the children commit the worst crimes. They funnel the money to the gang leaders, and we get the kind of carnage that we have out on our streets today. And thankfully, they were, because it started with an armed carjacking, cops were able to chase these
guys. The actions we're seeing and the crimes that are happening are increasingly becoming more dangerous.
Minutes later, deputies say this was the aftermath as the victim's stolen SUV wrecked out and the suspect's car also crashed. Deputies caught the suspects when they stopped to fill up gas at a station across their precinct. But officers say the suspects took off in different directions, and since a violent crime happened, deputies were able to chase after both.
The only reason they could chase him was because it started with an armed carjacking. And until our Democrats in Olympia fix these laws, we're going to see these crimes just continue to roll through our region. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, we found out last night when the Mariners lost that they are not going to have any home playoff games in the first round of the playoffs. But it was quite a scene on Friday night when a home run was hit. The shot heard round the Northwest because the Mariners hadn't been to the playoffs in 21 years.
Here's the stretch. The 3-2 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Stay fair. Holy smokes, he did it. Off the hit at Air Cafe. Cal Raleigh with a walk-off home run. How sweet it is.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. After 21-year drought, the Mariners are in the playoffs. Now, there is another part of this story. The 17-year-old kid who caught that home run ball, his name is Marchani Roman, and he talked to Fox 13 about catching the ball.
You know, last pitch, you know, I was shaking. Everybody was standing up. And as soon as, you know, that bat hit the ball, everybody, you know, everybody was yelling. And in the video that I took, you could kind of see the ball coming up. And then around like my section, everybody stayed quiet because these we saw the ball starting to come down. And so everybody was so focused on catching the ball. And I saw it come our way. And so my brother was right next to me. And so I jumped over him. And I had to reach over the people behind us to be able to catch that ball. And the second I caught that, I mean, I kind of, it felt like I blacked out. I don't remember anything.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask a controversial question because that's what I do here. So a kid catches the ball. I don't know what that ball's worth. The baseball that ended the Mariner 21-year playoff drought. It was the longest active playoff drought in any of the major sports leagues, NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB. So is it worth something? Yeah, it's not the most historic ball. For example, when Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run over the weekend, that ball was supposedly going to be worth between $2 and $5 million because it tied Roger Maris's record. And what I think's interesting about all that is it's like nobody even recognizes what Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa did because everybody knows they were all juiced up goons on steroids. So Roger Maris is considered the real single season record. And now Aaron Judge has tied it. And if he hits another home run in the next couple of days, that baseball is going to be worth between $2 and $5 million. Well, the guy who got Aaron Judge's 61st home run baseball, he just gave it to Aaron Judge. But he was a bullpen coach for one of the teams. But he could have kept it. He could have said, yep, no longer a bullpen coach. I'm going to go sell this ball. He could have kept it. But he gave it to Aaron Judge, and Aaron Judge gave it to his mother. Oh. But why shouldn't Aaron Judge have given that guy, $1 million? Really? You're going to return that baseball to me? Aaron Judge, starting next year, is going to be making $40 million a year. So why not give that guy $1 million? Okay, now let's get back to this Mariner kid. 17 years old. He catches a historic baseball for the team. And he said all he wanted, he didn't want any money. He just wanted to give the baseball to Cal Raleigh and to meet him.
Yeah, I love to talk to them, but I want to give Cal the ball, you know, personally. I really wanted to, you know, talk to him and tell him, you know, that I caught the ball and that I wanted to give it to him.
So they let him on the field after the game. The kid was thrilled, and he said it was really fun being out there.
It was great. I mean, he's such a great guy, and he was like, you know, do you want to keep the ball? And I was like, nah, I want to give it to you. You know, I just wanted to come down here and give it to you personally because I know the ball means a lot to you guys. And, you know, it's the right thing to do.
It's a nice kid. I like that. However, somebody with the team or Cal Raleigh makes $750,000 a year. Somebody should have given the kid 10 grand. He could have at least gotten that.
He did get an autographed bat, an autographed ball.
Yeah, I know. You know,
but yeah, maybe rabbit. Something a little more valuable.
Well, I'm but just saying.
In could baseball, you have said no? Could you, if they said, would you like to give him the ball? Would you have said no? I'm going to sell it on eBay tomorrow.
I don't know. The thing is, it's such a one-way street where, you know, the teams can charge ridiculous prices for tickets and for concessions so that they can pay the $40 million Aaron Judge contracts or even the $750,000 Cal Raleigh contracts. And yet here's a fan who, for the first time, it's very rare for fans to get leverage. Usually it's fans who are paying for everything, paying for the salaries, paying for everything. We're paying for the stadium. And I would have liked if somebody had said, you know, we're going to make sure that you're going to get at least what you could have if you'd sold that ball since you're being a good dude. But it's a nice story.
I think I would have handed it over to you. I couldn't have said no.
Sure.
But you know, I mean, he's got the memory. He's got the TV.
I know. And he's only 17.
Memories. He's got, yeah.
He's got lots of time.
Cool. And you know what? If they're out in the wild card, then, you know, it might not be worth as much as we think it might be.
That big a deal. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President of the United States.
The whole community benefits in one way or another, economically, not to mention psychically, from their presence.
Is anybody benefiting psychically right now? Since we got Joe and Kamala. And then the president of the United States, Joe, is in Puerto Rico. And boy, he sure once again displayed his street credibility with the Puerto Ricans.
Well, my name's Joe Biden, and I don't want the headline to read, Biden brings storm to Puerto Rico. So I'm going to maybe have to cut this a little short. You know, I come from a little state, the little state of Delaware. It's not like the Congress.
What's with him and Kamala? What is the Russia-Ukraine war all about?
Ukraine is a small country. Russia is a big country. The big country wants to invade the small country.
And then Joe talks that way, too. Maybe this is because this is how everybody has to talk to Joe whenever they're alone with him. Joe, the blue food is the sweet food.
Well, they obviously think we're all dumb.
Sour food. Well, or they are.
You know, I come from a little state, the little state of Delaware. It's not like the congresswoman from New York. She's from a big state. But we have a very, in relative terms, large Puerto Rican population in Delaware relative to our population. We have the eighth largest black population in the country, and between...
Democrats are so obsessed with race. It's all they talk about. It's all they talk about everywhere they go because it gives them cred. Okay, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, it's Tuesday afternoon. That's a great time for Dave Wyman to drop by for his weekly visit. And so he will next here on the Dory Monson Show. Simple Minds?
Simple Minds. Oh. Dory's got it.
Breakfast Club? Is this from Breakfast Club? Good
Breakfast
movie, Dave.
Club song.
It's a good movie. All right, I'm out for revenge because you smoked me last week and named that artist. This is Tuesday afternoon. This is when the great Dave Wyman comes by for his weekly visit. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Happy birthday.
Really good. So, there was a story that both Nicole and I saw this weekend surrounding the Seahawks game that immediately made both of us think of you.
Wow. What an honor.
Yeah.
Because I know what you're talking about, I think.
You've already guessed?
Yeah.
It was the defensive play? No. The 48 point? No. I saw that DK Metcalf.
The guy that had to go to the bathroom?
Yeah. DK Metcalf had to be taken on a cart to the bathroom because of some stomach problems.
He had to go to the bathroom. Yeah.
Really bad, apparently.
Well, and it's a really long way in Detroit. Mm-hmm. By the way, we went there.
If you have stomach problems, it's a long way anywhere you are.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah, I mean, that one in particular, like Rabel and I went down on the field beforehand, and you had to walk from where the locker room was. You had to go through this long hallway and then down this big ramp, and then it turns another way. I mean, it's a long way. So it's a good move by him.
Okay. Apparently everybody thought that maybe he was hurt because usually players don't get carted off the field, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but we didn't hear anything. And I guess I should have thought that right away because I was like, I have no idea what's going on. He didn't look like he was angry or sad or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He was just on there for a ride, but I guess he was going to run up there. And then the trainer, David Strickland, was like, no, we got a cart for you. Yeah. Let's put you on there. That way you don't hurt yourself on the way back there.
Frankly, the reason that we both thought about you, and this goes back to very early in our friendship, but one of the ways that you hooked and reeled me in as a friend is you told me that if you ever were to write a book, the title of that book would be, "Hey, I bleeped my pants." Or something to that effect.
I bleeped my pants.
What was it going to be?
Well, this is not just football players, but like when I was coaching at Redmond, we were sitting around and telling those kinds of stories. And, you know, it's amazing how almost everybody has some kind of, and there are four people in this world, four kinds of people.
Right.
People who have pooped their pants
right.
and think it's funny.
Right.
People who have not poop their pants. Or I'm sorry, they think it's funny or they don't think it's funny.
Right.
Or people who have not pooped their pants that think it's funny. That's my wife. She falls into that little quadrant.
Right.
And then there are those, you know, and then there are those people that just they either haven't pooped their pants or they have pooped their pants and they don't think it's funny. So yeah, four different kinds of people. That's how everybody breaks down pretty much.
Wait, isn't there another category? People who have pooped their pants but they won't admit it.
They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. They claim that they never have, cuz everybody has. At
come
some
on,
point.
You haven't lived if you Yeah, if you don't want to talk about that, I mean, come on, it's funny. You know why? Because you're like a baby. I mean, that's what babies do. Yeah, you're a grown-up.
So, you're either you're at one end of the spectrum. You're either like a baby or you're like a very, very old person.
Yeah.
One or the other. But so why did this subject fascinate you to such an extent that because you're a bright man, you're a very literate man, you're a wordsmith, you're a good writer. Of all the things you would write a book about, why this?
Well, I don't know, Dory. It's really not that big of a deal. I mean, I just mentioned it as a joke that I thought it was funny, but it's not like this passion of mine that I have to accomplish before I die.
Project.
Okay.
What's he supposed to do? Collect everybody's stories and put them together? I mean, he can't have enough stories about it to fill a book.
Yeah.
Maybe a children's book.
Can I tell you the one that's really funny? It's a buddy of mine that played for the Jets, Nuu Faola, and he was on a Tuesday when he was with the Jets, which is a day off. There was four football players that were going to this this school that was upstate, so they were like driving along this windy road, and there was a river down there, and so all of a sudden they smelled something really bad, and the driver's like, "Yeah, that was me. I got to pull over." So he pulls over. And I guess he had, you know, made a mess. And so he goes down, he disappears over the bank, and they don't see him. They have no idea what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he goes down there, gets in the river, you know, takes his clothes off, gets in the river, you know, washes everything like on a rock and cleans himself up. And like 15 minutes later, he comes running up the embankment. And he's naked from the waist down.
Oh.
And so he sits in the car, and then he rolls up. This is back when you could roll the window up. He put his underwear and his pants on the outside and rolled up the window. So it was like flapping in the wind. They get there to the school. You know, he pulls off somewhere before, puts his stuff on, puts his pants on, and then they go in and do the thing with the kids, and then... And I guess it was because he was out drinking the night before, and so like within an hour after that, they're at a bar having a drink. Yeah. So yeah, that was probably one of the better stories. I could go into more detail on that one, but everybody has or has heard some story.
I have stories, but I think I'd be too ashamed to tell them on the radio.
I think the children's book is a great idea. Oops, I pooped my pants as a children's book.
Well, I just thought, you know, my idea it was going to be a bathroom book, you know, with like little short stories and, you know, could start off a little introduction, like, you know, aren't you glad you're here?
You know? You could be in your car panicking right now.
Have you seen the all-time greatest story? It's on YouTube. Baseball superstar George Brett.
Yes, I have heard that, too.
You have seen that one?
Yes, I have. Okay. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah. It's NSFW, though. Okay, we actually have some really important stuff, believe it or not, to talk with Dave Wyman about. Let me take a quick time out here, and then we will continue. Culture Club?
Not Culture Club.
I know. I knew that. Dang it.
I can't get it.
Time's up. Who is it?
This is the Human League.
Human League. I knew that.
Wasn't that George Costanza's charity? Fake charity?
Yeah, the Human Fund.
The Human Fund.
The Human Fund.
Money for people.
Money for people.
That's right. Okay, quick time out, then we'll talk about much more substantive
Something more
stuff.
Sophisticated. How about
that? Yeah, we'll get more sophisticated, believe it or not. As hard as that may be to imagine. As we continue with Dave Wyman in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show.
Pet Shop Boys.
Pet Shop Boys. Dave brings it back.
Good call. We're tied at one. Very excited. Let me check the season standings here, Dave. 14-12.
Never gets old.
14-12. I'm up by just two. It's very exciting. If you want, Dave Wyman is with us. You can hear him afternoons on 710 Seattle Sport. If you want to see Dave in person, I don't know if this is public knowledge yet, but I heard that you're going to be inside the Kraken buoy costume all season coming up. Is that right? Did you get the gig?
No.
You didn't get the gig.
Different David Wyman, apparently. There's three of us in town.
Oh, I thought you were going to be the new buoy.
Boy. What is buoy?
This new Kraken mascot.
Huh.
Boy. There was a great rumor. Early in my career, 1997, a rumor started that I was the Mariner Moose. And the best part about it, because that was when I would go to the games every night, and I'd do highlights, stand on the dugout, and I'd do highlights from around the majors. And I suffered a real bad leg injury. At the same week that the Mariner Moose, he was riding a skateboard behind a four-wheel, a four-wheel drive. Yeah, you know, whatever. What are they called?
Little tractors. Like
tractor
little,
things, some fast
whatever.
Ones.
Yeah.
But he crashed into the outfield wall and broke his ankle. The day that I injured my leg playing basketball, so I was in a walking boot. Right after the Mariner Moose crashed into the wall, and there was already this rumor. So it was very exciting for me because I had most of Seattle believing that I was the Mariner Moose.
That's pretty funny.
If you're going to have a rumor about yourself, that's the kind of rumor you want out there. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Mariners in the playoffs now. Every game's going to be on the road, which isn't as big a deal in baseball, but it's still a deal. I mean, it's still a home field advantage, right?
Yeah, and I think that will give the Mariner fans something to look forward to for next year. You know, look, right now it's just the over 20-year curse you're in, and what a magical moment, by the way. I was sitting on a bus in Detroit when it happened, unfortunately, but. You know, heard, obviously watched it and all that. And we talked about it all day yesterday. But bottom of the ninth, full count, 1-1, 2 outs. I mean, the whole thing was very dramatic. But, they're not going to get any of that in the playoffs because, like you said, they're going to be on the road the entire time.
Yeah. But just that moment, I mean, because everything about this has been so dramatic. And yeah, when you're a little kid, I don't know what the football equivalent was, but when you're a little kid, you would always, shoot a couple of free throws, down one, seventh game of the NBA Finals, or you'd be, toss the wiffle ball up in the air, and it was that situation, 2 out, bottom of the ninth, 3-2 count, and you always fantasize about moments like that. So when they actually come to be, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. Cal Raleigh is just, the more you talk to, we talk to Paul Sewald pretty regularly, and, he was talking about how good he is at managing the pitching staff, and just, he's just a very down-to-earth, awesome, like, rock-solid guy. Yeah, so and he was sitting there, and this is the thing I don't get, which I think it's got to be so hard to do. Now, obviously, there was lots of juice in the building and everything, but for him to sit around all day, and just sit there, watch his teammates play, and then all of a sudden he's the pinch hitter and goes in at the bottom. That's got to be incredibly difficult to do.
Well, I also wanted to get your thoughts on this, because I talked about this a lot yesterday on my show, that right after the game, I'm kind of sick of every single baseball game in the middle of July, even if a team is 20 games out of first. Somebody hits a game winner and they pour the Gatorade and they do all that. It seems excessive to me. But in a case like this, it seems fantastic. And I was expecting, they had all the lockers taped off so the champagne wouldn't spray on their personal clothes and stuff. But I love the fact that they took a moment before the celebration and the party started, and their manager, Scott Servais, said this to the team.
You guys are the fifth team to ever make the playoffs. When we set out at the beginning of spring training, Okay, we had a goal. We know what it felt like last year when we didn't get in. You guys that were here, it hurt. But really, everybody in this room.
Okay, and then he talked for over a minute. And it was just about kind of bonding stuff. And then after a minute of that now, stuff.
Could have been a better guy to end it right there. Yeah. Now it's time to party, boys.
Gino, are you ready?
Are you ready? You're ready?
And then the champagne, the beer was spraying it all over. But that told me a lot, Dave, because most teams, they just go in and party. 99 out of 100, they just go in and party. And the fact that they took a minute to just be together and to be reflective, that showed me a lot.
Yeah, service is really good that way. I you know what's funny is he's a big football fan. Usually baseball guys, they don't talk too much about football. I know a lot of the announcers and stuff will be, oh, the football guys, you know, but he is very into it, man. By the way, a couple of years ago when the Packers beat the Seahawks in the playoffs, he was standing across the room at a press conference and he was looking over at me and he had this big grin on his face. So I flashed him I scratched the side of my cheek with my middle finger, and he was over there laughing. He's very into football. But yeah, it was kind of like that, really. Did you hear the other clip where Julio pops the champagne prematurely?
Yeah,
and then everybody's like, come on. Yeah. And he's like, and Julio's like, rookie mistake.
I liked that, and that showed me a lot, because if you're playing for each other instead of just for yourself in the party moment, I think you have a better chance of success. So that was
a good
cool
point.
I like that a lot.
I agree with you, and it's we've interviewed most of the guys, and just a great collection of people.
Billy Idol.
Not Idol, nope.
I can't even hear.
I couldn't either.
Hold on. This is like a 90s.
The Alaska Airlines commercial.
Yeah. Safety dance.
Shoot. I'm not going to get it.
It's like men with red hats.
That's really close, Dave.
Men with hats.
No, not men with hats. You're so close.
I don't know.
Who is it?
This is men without hats.
Oh.
All right, we got a tiebreaker.
Break the tie. Quick, hurry. We're running late. Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Dang it.
Whew. 15-12. All right, Dave, thank you. And,
good talking to you.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
All right.
Dave Wyman, you can hear him every afternoon, 7:10, Seattle Sport. Big lead at 2 right after we check the news next here on the Dory Monson Show.